Father, I pray for grace for me as I deliver the message today and grace upon the hearer. But Lord, let the things that sting us, sting us. Break those things off of us. Deliver us from the things we need deliverance from, Lord, so we can look and smell more like you. In Jesus' name, the church said amen. So the sermon title is Family Drama. Family, say family drama. Has anyone ever heard about it? I mean, it's you heard about it. Maybe anyone? Have you all been right in the middle of it before? Okay, all right. It says here, go slow, because everyone's probably going to look uncomfortable. It's true. I was right about that earlier this week. But family drama, how about this? Has anyone ever been around, even if you're like, I don't know, we don't have it, but I've been around family drama. Anyone have just been around it? It's not your drama, but you've been around family drama before. Okay. How about ever been right in the middle of it, like you didn't expect it, like you were just over there, and all of a sudden, boom, family drama broke out. You're like, man, whew. Yeah. How about this? If you're feeling brave, how about ever caused family drama? Ever been a family drama causer? I was a family drama causer before Jesus. And then by coming to Jesus, I caused drama. We'll see if we tell the stories or not today. I don't know. So sometimes in the family drama, sometimes, it can mostly be one-sided. If we're mostly adults in the room, I hope so. Okay. Just one person in someone else's family? Ever have just one person bring 80% of the drama? Like, no hands right now. Greg, just be careful. Have you ever been around any drama centered mostly on one extra selfish person? You love them, but boy, drama, right? Or maybe you've experienced this at someone else's family reunion. A whole family that seems to be the neediest and the most dramatic. And someone else's, you know, I get invited to other people's family reunions. You know, you ever know someone who seems possibly blinded to obvious things that everyone else sees? Ever been blinded to your blind spots that everyone else saw, and you fought the world that it wasn't true? And then when you came to Jesus, you go, darn it. I need to work right there. Say, family drama. That's why they're called blind spots. You know, it seems obvious to everybody else, but when that drama comes in the room, it changes everything, right? You're walking on eggshells. You're trying to fix the drama before it becomes drama. Is anybody here this morning? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel the pressure in the room right now. But God wants to heal you from your drama. God desires to, he tries to restore families. He gets drama, right? If you take a real minute and sincerely, don't be offended, but be honest with yourself right now. It's another tough question. Are you the moody, tootie, or rooty one in your house? Could you be moody? Could you be tootie? Could you be rooty? Could you be the drama of your life? Jesus can help with that. This message series, maybe it's going to be a series, we'll see how it goes. Family drama, the issues are not always one-sided, though. Ever been in family drama that's not just one thing, it's a bunch of things? Say sometimes. It's a little bit of everyone causing the drama. You know, a little bit of everyone. Everyone should look at themselves as individuals, right? And what roles we each play in the drama, but often we see the family dynamics of the drama before we only see what we bring to the drama. Are you following me? Say family drama. You're like, Pastor, please don't get too far into this. But each of us, we need a God realignment sometimes. You got to go get your oil changed, you know? And dramatic things happen in our lives. And we all need to review ourselves. We should review ourselves. We should take responsibility, right? We should take responsibility for what we bring to the drama. Well, if so-and-so takes responsibility, that's not what I'm here for this morning, for you to think about so-and-so. You can think about so-and-so, but you got to think about solo. What do I need in this? I do have a slide. Drama can occur in a few areas, but are not limited to. Okay, these are just, drama can occur in everyday family life. Anyone? It can start and be restarted anywhere. You can think the drama's over, and then something happens, and the drama restarts. Before you know it, it's 20 years of silent drama that occasionally comes up at Thanksgiving. Anybody? Yeah, it can. It can. It doesn't have to, but it can occur in families. It can occur in church families, too. Shocking. Even the family of God. Even godly families. Say, drama happens. I'm going to have you singing with me today, too. It's going to be beautiful. God-loving families, like all other families, can experience drama. Biblical families like Adam and Eve, drama. New Testament church families, drama. Great leaders like Paul and Barnabas, drama. Experience drama. Drama is easily found in work family relationships, right? Microwaves and shared kitchen space can cause family drama. Yeah, you see Debbie? Debbie, did she have a burrito again? I love her, but man, if she puts one more burrito in there and it doesn't clean up after that, I'm about to hit her with a chair, but I love her. I love her. You've never been in a break room, heard that conversation? You know, you never been Debbie going, darn it, they know about my burrito. You know, how about this? Drama can be found in all the relationships of our lives. Say, drama happens. Now, this is going to be fun. This is where you're going to audition as the new season Christian Fellowship family singers. I'm going to cross some lines. Dr. Heidi's always wondering, why do I have to say that? But I'm going to say it. There's I don't know if you're familiar with this old secular song, but I'm going to sing I'm going to try to sing a little bit, but we're going to sing a little differently. If any of you do know it, you can put your thumb in there like you ever light it. Okay? We don't need no more trouble. You know where that's from? We don't need no more trouble. What we need is love. That's Bob Marley. We don't need no more trouble. But this is how we're going to sing it. Say, come on with me. I know you can sing. We don't need no more drama. We don't need no more drama. What we need is love. Yeah, we don't need more drama. We don't need it. We're going to be singing throughout the service because it just makes me happy. We don't need more drama. It's an excellent remake. Welcome to the worship team. Last week, Pastor Todd left off in the scriptures. This confirmed with why I was going to skip this. Do it later in the summer, you know. But Pastor Todd left off in the scriptures when Jesus was busting on some religious hypocrites and snots. In my opinion, you know, they're Pharisees and Sadducees. Say, that's not me. That's not me. And in the midst of Jesus speaking to some of these stinging parables about taking personal responsibility, Pastor Todd was talking about taking this personal responsibility to care about and reach out to the lost. That's our job, right? And right in the midst of those stories, Jesus tells a story about a family in drama. The point of this story is famous, and it's a great example of the Father God and a Father loving like God. Say, that's the point. So I don't want you to miss, that's the point. I'm going to mess with it a little bit. I don't want you to miss the big point. The Father loves you, and he's waiting for you to come home if you haven't been to him, no matter what you've done. That's the point. But I'm not going to make that the main point today, though it is the main point. I'm going to mess with the parable story of a fictitious family that Jesus made up, right? The Father will forgive and bring anyone close again. That's the point. But I'll break down the parable. Maybe in this fictitional parody of human family, there could be some drama. So I'm going to do, you can never do that before, ever do a great job of repping God in one area, but not so great in another. Like, man, that person is amazing at this, but they could really work on. Like, they're so much like God in this situation. Like, whoo, they are so, but this other area, they got, pray for them. Is that you? Yeah, that's why this story is that too. There's the Father is amazing like God, but there's some areas I'd like to draw attention to. Say, family drama. First, we'll recap with the scriptures because that's always a good idea. Luke 15, 1 through 2 in the NLT. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners. Jesus often finds his people stuck in low places. Anybody ever been stuck in low places? Jesus showed up. I was one, man, stuck in a low place. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. Now, I hear this, and I want us to hear it in this way, too. If you have just been a listener to Jesus' teachings, there's an invitation today to become more than that. If you didn't sign up for baptism, but you're like, that's me. I'm tired of being a listener, and I'm in. I'm a follower. I'm a disciple. I'm more than a listener. I'm going to be a follower. It says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. Whew, I like this part, too. Remember, I was just reading my Bible, and I kind of had an attitude problem. This made the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law complain. I laughed when I first read that. I go, ha! He's getting them again, Jody. He's messing with them, you know. He's being sassy. He's bugging them. He's doing stuff that really ticks them off. I used to do that in school, so I could kind of relate, you know. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people and even eating with them. I'm honestly grateful he came to where I was because I couldn't have come to where he was. Luke 15, Jesus lays out the parable of the lost sheep. It's going after those who have never known him, the lost. And then he talks about the parable of the coin. I did put it in there. And it's about having joy and finding what God values. And then we have this prodigal son story right in the middle of it. The point is, even though he did know the Father, he pursued sin instead. Anybody ever? The redemption of God is beautiful. And beyond that, the main point, there may be some other additional information I'd like to extract this morning. I think there's a whole lot of room to look at this family drama and see where maybe I could grow. I hope you have the same. Luke 15, 11. Jesus is telling the story to everybody, the sinners, the outcasts, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. It says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. Three people in this family, each could maybe look at themselves, could have done, should have done, what might I have done to stop this family drama from even happening, right? Dr. Heidi has a saying in counseling, and I'm going to picture him a couple buckets here. We walk around life in our daily lives with two buckets in our hand. One's water, one's gasoline. And some things you see a fire brewing, you go, uh-oh, that's drama. I better put that out. And some things you see going on in someone's life, you go, I need to put some gasoline on that because they're cooking right now. I need to fuel that fire. I love that they're turning their life over to God. I'm gonna put some fire on that and I'm gonna be available. Oh, as being sassy with Pastor Jody, a little water on that and settle down. We carry around these buckets all the time. What are we gonna do with them? And I think in this situation, there was some water that could have been thrown on some fires. We got to do our part in the drama. We can't leave it up to other people, right? All right. Luke 15, 12. A man had two sons. The younger of them inappropriately said to his father. That's rude in any culture to be inappropriate to your father. But in that culture especially, it's like saying, hey, man, if you were dead, some of that stuff would be mine already. Disrespectful to the parent was definitely not living the big Ten Commandments, right? Honor your father and mother. So in this Jewish household, for him to be inappropriate to his father and to say, man, pretty much, if you were dead, my life would be better. Bold, right? Bad character move, right? Can you agree with me that's a bad character move? Okay. Self-centered, entitled, what I should deserve, what I could have. Man, self-centered, entitled creates drama. The younger of them inappropriately said to his father, Father, give me. Father, give me. Father, give me. Father, give me. Sounds a lot like prayer lives. Father, give me the share of the money that falls to me. You know, when he was being inappropriate to his father, just want to pull over to a moment there. Parenting is not easy. Should I touch that? Should I get into it later? I just want to, Okay, let's read a little bit and then I'll get into it. The younger of them inappropriately said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that falls to me. Entitlement and selfish behavior brings drama. So he, the dad, divided the estate between them. Now, what I'd like to bring up is this. This is a fictional parody, not a perfect father, but he was like the father in this story. But I really want to say, maybe this dad could have been a better parent and not let his kid do inappropriate behavior. Maybe he could have stood up and said, no, there's a curfew. Maybe he could have stood up and said, no, you can't drive without a license. Maybe he said, no, you can't hang out with Cindy Lou Who and Jimmy Too, who are out there smoking and chew. You're only 12. Right? So sometimes parenting isn't easy. And when you see inappropriate behavior and you parent and you say and do nothing because you're afraid how your kids are going to respond, you're not raising them. You're causing self-centeredness. So some of that drama, come on. I know it's not comfortable, but we got to hear things sometimes. I drove myself through the ringer over this. I texted my kids for stuff I already apologized 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I did it again. They all shaking their head. I did. Listen, parenting is not for the weak. His people, his kids, sometimes need clear boundaries and correction. Don't we all? Maybe if dad would have said, you know, that hurts, but I can't give that to you, son, because you'll crush yourself. I'm so mad at you, and I'll tell my friends, I know you're hating me. I see the Facebook post. Maybe dad could have kindly enforced the correct moral choice, but said nothing, but gave in to inappropriate behavior. Ever been there? Ever seen that? It's not easy. Being godly and leading is not easy. But parents impact our kids all the time. Bosses impact employees. Pastors and leaders, right? Lead by impacting. Say we don't need no more drama. And the younger son also knew better, right? But he chose to be disrespectful. He chose selfishness with no regard for how it made the rest of the family feel. Ever been there? Ever seen that? Like, Pastor, this is uncomfortable. Yeah, this is uncomfortable. Because we don't need no more drama. What we need is love. And the drama gets in the way of that. And if we expect everyone else to fix their drama without us fixing our drama, guess what? There's still drama. Yeah, it's just drama. Unfortunately, selfishness often becomes a bad pattern of behavior for this guy now. He chooses selfishness and he keeps on choosing it. The younger of them inappropriately said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that falls to me. So the father divided his estate between them. For fun, we're going to break it down even a little further. There's room for everyone to squish the drama. Luke 15:13. A few days later, the younger son gathered together everything that he had and traveled. Ever hear people say, man, if I came into a big sum of money, I would travel. I'm that way. Give me a couple. I'm buying my ranch, and then I'm going to Greece. Woohoo! You know, I'm out. Thank you. I'm in Italy this month. Woohoo! Wow, you came into some money? Yeah, I'm traveling. Anyone ever fantasize about travel? If you don't fantasize about travel sometimes, I want to know, what do you think about? Anyways. Gathered together everything that he had had, and he traveled to a distant country, and there he wasted his fortune in recklessness and immoral living. He wasted his fortune in recklessness and immoral living. He wasted his fortune in recklessness and immoral living. Ever experienced that type of betrayal and selfishness from somebody? You gave them everything and they wasted it. They take and they take and they waste and they waste. Ever had that happen to you? Ever caused that for someone else? Ever caused that for someone else? I did. I caused that before. You got to own your stuff so Jesus can forgive your stuff. Because we're about to start new lives today. You know, this baptism is going to be amazing to me. I'll pause there because I just want to. Is Mark out here? Because he said I could pick on him whenever I wanted to. Mark, you're here. I'm picking on you now. Not picking. It's actually something I prize about you. But some guys say you can share my stories, whatever, and I don't care. I love that. I'm that guy. If I tell you a story here, you can tell it anywhere. It doesn't matter how bad it makes me look. If it happened, I own it. Don't worry, Wendy. I'm not. She's getting nervous, isn't she, Mark? She's a pastor. When Mark became a Christian and he was ready to be baptized, he had to release some old things in his life. So Mark had a lot of Norse gods in his life, and he followed the Nordic gods of the biker world. And he had to renounce his relationship with those things as false idols and smash them to the ground. And he said, I'm staying with Jesus, I'm jumping with Jesus, and there's no other gods but him. It was beautiful. It was an all-in experience. I'm proud of those moments. If you love Jesus, you got to own up to your stuff. Maybe the younger son could have inappropriately taken the money. Maybe he could have taken it. But then he could have done something like he could have opened a 529. He could have opened a Roth, a 401k. He could have, hey, I stole this money from my dad, basically, but I'm going to invest it, and I'll take care of him when he's old. Maybe. But he didn't. I have a slide right in the middle of this scripture, right, don't I? Selfishness always leads to sin. Selfishness always leads to sin. Now, self-care is setting healthy boundaries. Nothing wrong with self-care. Good God-led self-care is not selfishness. There's a difference, and to be honest, we know it. When you're being selfish, you're like, I don't know if I'm being selfish or caring for myself. You know. Well, I was real hungry, and I needed that fourth piece of pizza, and I'm sorry the angel didn't get any. You know, she should have got to the picnic earlier. I'm self-caring. Oh, are you? You're just being caring, not self-caring. Come on. Family drama. When it comes to any decision or topic in a family that you deal with, it doesn't just affect you. It doesn't affect you. It affects more than you. There's a slide that says we impact each other. We can't help it. It's up there. We impact each other. You know, our selfishness and our good things. We impact each other. Say, we don't need no more drama. I'm not going to do this until Danny sings with me. We don't need no more drama. He sounds good, too. That's why. I know he can. I heard him. Marisol's like, get him, Pastor. Danny's like, no, I'm good. Luke 15:14. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country. Man, that 529 would have come in handy. And he began to do without and be in need. Here's the truth. Hitting bottom can do two things. It can wake you up or it can kill you. Hitting bottom will do two things. It'll wake you up or it can kill you. Anybody ever hit bottom before? Bottom. I'm talking bottom. Woo! I had some bottoms that I could not even want to discuss in mixed company. Bottom. Bottom that I would probably share like that part of my testimony with a very small amount of people. Why? Because it was bottom. He began to do without and be in need, and he went and forced himself on one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. Now, this for a Hebrew is bottom dwelling move for sure. Hebrews get that. But have we ever been with pigs? Have we been pigs? We understand pigs. Don't live in the muck with pigs, especially when God has a different home for you. Don't live in the muck with pigs, especially when your father has a home for you. He had hit bottom. He could say, well, I'll just stay with the pigs. I stay with pigs longer than I should have anybody else. Yeah, but there comes a moment where you got to go, okay, look it. God's real and I'm running to him. I'm tired of being with pigs. And even my father, as messed up as I am, I know that guy. Right? He would have gladly eaten the pods with the pigs, but they could not satisfy his hunger. And check this out. This is going to be a hard one. And no one was giving anything to him. That's how I read it when I first read it. Sassy. And no one was giving anything to him. Boo-hoo! I was like, well, you're dumb. You're entitled and you're selfish. I'm just telling you how I read it. I was not feeling sad for him until the mirror gets turned on you and you go, oh, that's me in the story? Ooh, I was dumb, entitled, and selfish. But this is also true of this statement. Sometimes God lets you sit in your selfish mess for a minute. Sometimes he lets you sit. Oh, rescue me, not yet. Why? Because I know you're not at the bottom. You're still smiling at the pigs. No one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. Sometimes it's you that should have been giving. No one gave him anything. Some folks should stop expecting to be given to and just start being givers. He had a lot. He could have gave and changed the world. But no one gave anything to him. Anyways, you know. All family members should contribute to the family if it's going to be healthy. Say, we don't need no more drama. Yeah. Luke 15, 17 through 19. But when he finally came to his senses, sometimes it takes a while, right? Sometimes your senses need to be reorganized a couple times. But when he finally came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough food while I'm dying here of hunger? I'll get up and go to my father. Listen to those words. Say them over in your head right now. I'll get up. I don't know who he's talking to, but it's time. I will get up and I will go to my father. I'm a mess. I've been with pigs. I got blind spots. I cause family drama. I cause reckless, immoral behavior. I got to get up. And I got to go to my father. Some of us been running. God said, don't. It's just time to get up. I'll get up and go to my father. That's the effort that's needed sometimes. Often we kind of get attuned with God. We say, where are you? Ever go, where are you, God? Where are you, God? And God is saying, where are you? Are you where you're supposed to be? I'm where I'm always at. Where are you, God? Right where I always am. Where are you? Oh, I've been with the pigs, you know. He got up. He said, I'll get up and go to my father. And here's another very important thing that's, you can't just go to your father and just show up and go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Father, he says, I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Oh, first I sinned against God with all my nonsense, all my immorality, all my selfish life. I created a lot of drama, and the first place I got to go to was the Father. Well, then I'm going to be all just okay, just between me and God. Oh, he just, I know I caused all this drama, and I know I've been a knucklehead, I know I wasted everything, I know everyone's mad at me, but I went to God. Awesome. He is faithful and just to forgive you. But that's not the end of repentance. Father, I've sinned against heaven and I sinned your sight. I caused family drama, so please forgive me. I violated the family and I violated you. Wouldn't that be nice to hear? I know. So sweet. Ever violated and took advantage of God's love? Ever violated and took advantage of other people's love? I can't overemphasize verse 18 enough. It says, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. Say, take responsibility. Yeah. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired men. Now, I looked at that and I go, wow, this dude is willing to accept the consequences. We know what's going to happen, but in that moment, his heart is like, look it, I screwed up so bad. You don't got to even call me son. I'll work in the fields. I'll put up with the lowest paying thing. You don't have to acknowledge me. If I just want a job because you have a great situation going and I screwed up, so put me out, you know. I'll come home, but I don't need nothing now. I blew it. That seems like a humble, repentant person to me. And Jesus said we got to forgive that kind of person. Luke 15:20. So he got up and came to his father, taking responsibility for his drama. I love this. But while he was still a long way off, while he was still not even close to home, while he was still far away, his father saw him. This is just another way that this father is a lot like God. Because if you're a dad, a good dad, you never stop hoping for reconciliation. If you had kids and you love them and they're screwed up somehow, you never stop hoping for reconciliation. You're always looking down the road. You are always hoping. You are always praying. Maybe it's today. Dads, ever pray that way? Dads, never stop hoping for reconciliation. He was moved with compassion for him. And check this out. He ran. He embraced him and he kissed him. Yes, love is also saying the hard things, but it's making boundaries that kids don't like, but it's also lavishing them with love when they absolutely need it. Be real. Be real, like Father God, dads. Parents, got to get past the drama sometimes. We got to look and we got to hope every day. We got to look for opportunities to show love to our kids. I know that's let it sink in. We have to look for opportunities. Sometimes parenting, parents are so hard. We're looking for opportunities to critique, to get them in line. We don't want you to screw up. Don't be overbalanced there, and don't be so overbalanced. Oh, just do whatever behavior you want. Why? Because it's being gentle. No. Spirit and truth. But at the end of the day, a father cannot wait for reconciliation. I want to challenge you in your drama. Is there someone you need to forgive and restore? Keep an eye out for them. Hits me personally. Keep an eye out for them. Keep an eye out for opportunities to love those that are returning to the Father. Say, that's easy. Yeah, we celebrate baptism. People return to the Father. We don't need no more drama. Always recall grace when they get those situations. You've never been in those people's shoes before. Also, only Jesus is perfect. He's going to start calling people back to him, and he's going to use the church to do it and say, I am the church, and our heart's got to be ready for it because it's people that's probably hurt you. And you got to be looking for God in their lives because you might be the only picture of the Father they're ever going to see. Say, family drama. Luke 15:21-24. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The father cut him off. But the father said to his servants, hey, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Get him clean and fresh. He's been living with the pigs. He needs a new life. He's going to go in that baptism tub and come out somebody different. But sometimes it's time to put on a new robe. Some of us need to put on a new robe. And it says, give him a ring for his hand.
What's that mean? Restore his identity.
He lost his identity. He wasn't identifying with a father. He identified with the muck and the mire. And he said, no. You may feel like you're not worthy to become my son, but I see your heart and I love you so much. I'm not only going to clean you up, I'm going to restore your identity. Say identity crisis. Yeah, I'm going to restore your identity. And sandals for his feet. I want to give him a new way to walk it out. And bring the fatted calf and slaughter it. And let us feast and celebrate. I almost put in Cool in the Gang. I was very tempted. Celebrate. But we got lost jamming, you know. But we really got to be thinking, we don't need no more drama. All we need is love. See, for this son of mine, he says, was as good as dead. Ever feel that about something in your life? It's as good as dead. Ever have something that was as good as dead come back to life on you? This was good as dead. This relationship was as good as dead. My kids and I are as good as dead. This person is good as dead. The hope of my life was as good as dead. Have you ever experienced that? Yeah. For the son of mine is good as dead and is alive again. He was lost, but he's been found. So they began to celebrate. Restoration with God's essential. And God's restoration is beautiful, and it needs to be celebrated every time. Restoration with people is beautiful too, but it's not always possible or even recommended. But repentance always is. Right? Say family drama. Luke 15, 25 through 28. I'm doing so good. It's the opening of a series, so I need to get, you know, a little bit longer. So it's okay. So opening. Cut me a break, Jordan. Okay, Luke 15, 25 through 28. Now his older son was in the field. This son is working just like he's supposed to. We should all be in the field working for the Father. This guy's doing exactly what he's supposed to do, doing it. And when he returned and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. What in the world? It's a Tuesday. Is that a quinceañera going on in my backyard? It's a Tuesday at 11 o'clock. Who is in that mariachi band? Come on. So he summoned one of the servants and began asking, what is this celebration and what does it mean? And he said to him, your brother has come. Your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf. Because he received him back. He has received him back safe and sound. Parents, shout at me. Isn't that the only thing you want? You want him back safe and sound. You want him back safe and sound. All those prayers, all those looking, all those hopings, all those things. At the end of the day, what do you want him back, Jody? Safe and sound. Whew. That's something to shout about. But. Family drama. But the elder brother became angry. Not fair. How would you feel, though? Think about it. This bozo took all your stuff, wasted it on immoral living, and I've been working my tail off doing what I'm supposed to do. The drama causer's back? Man. Is he scamming dad again? Come on, you're not thinking that? How many older brothers out there? Oh, I've been there. Uh-huh. And he became angry and deeply resentful. Deeply resentful. Be careful of bitterness. It's a killer. Bitterness is a killer. If you have not understood, bitterness will kill you. Bitterness will take your life. Slowly decaying your soul. Be careful. Bitterness can cause drama too. Uh-oh, the drama causer's back. Is he causing drama? Oh, hold on. Oh, your bitterness is causing drama too. No, it's his fault. No. We don't need. And the father came out. It says this, and he was unwilling to go in. He seems to be a boundary, not so much as an attitude. Right? He refused to go in. That's a boundary. I'm going to keep myself. I know my brother. No. You got an attitude with your brother. And his father came out and began pleading with him. Parents want children restored to each other too. Parents, if you ever had your kids fight with each other, it's the worst. It is the worst, right? Quit having jealousy and bitterness over God blessing somebody else. Quit having jealousy and bitterness over God blessing somebody else. Quit promoting drama over someone else's restoration or blessings. Say, it's no bueno. Yeah. His word says we're supposed to desire the best for each other. Remember that series? We're supposed to desire the best. Actually, as a brother, I never had a biological brother. But I got brothers that I pray to this day from back in the hood. They're on my heart every day, and I know they've messed up. And when I became a Christian, they left me because I caused drama, because I went from hardcore heathen to hardcore for him, and it gave him whiplash, and I probably said stupid things, and I don't know, but it broke it. And I'm looking to repair it on a regular basis. Why? Because that's my brother, and I want him to know the Father. And I got to stop pointing pictures. Why you keep blessing that guy? He's my kid, and I can do what I want with my stuff. Let the father do whatever he wants to with his kid. You're not the father. Let him bless who he wants to bless. Why is that going to cause you stress? Ever been there? Everybody, man, I can't believe it, man. God gave Mark his own business. Driver 72 years. Mumbling under our breath. I can't believe it, you know. Hondro got some new shoes, and I've been waiting 12 years for new shoes. Pastor just gave him shoes. The stuff we get bent about when God wants to bless somebody causes drama. Inappropriate behavior, not correcting what needs to be correction, causes drama. Bitterness causes drama. We don't need no more drama. Let him do whatever he wants to. Family drama, Luke 15, 29 through 30. But he said to his father, look. Now that sounds sassy to me. He sounds like he's, look, man. These many years I've served you, and I've never neglected or disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me so much as a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. I'm not going to bust on him. I'm going to bust on parents. There's a decent point made right here. Why don't we reward good behavior when we should? We're so busy being critical that we forget to be blessing of our children or the people in our lives. Take time to celebrate what they do. Promote good behavior, not just correct bad. Promote good behavior. Don't just correct bad. I'm just saying it helps eliminate the drama. Reward good and consistent behavior. It's good for a heart's morale, and it squashes drama. It says, but when this other son of yours, he's bitter. You see that? It's not my brother, this son of yours. It was so great. One day, Ellie came in. She was a little torqued. It's my granddaughter. She was a little ticked off. Some one of her toys got kind of chewed on. She walked into her Zia, which is her aunt Kirsten, and goes, your son tore up my stuff. I said, yeah, your son did it. Yes. And you get an attitude sometimes, right? Yes, I know, Pastor Sharon. Check the attitude. I get it. She's always got it. But when this other son of yours arrived, tone, watch your tone. this other son who has devoured your estate with immoral women, who has devoured your estate with immoral women, if he knew his brother was making a mess, he knew what was. So his brother took the money, took off, but somehow his brother knew what he was doing. If he knew his brother was making a mess and causing drama, did he go to his brother who was in sin and say what the word says to do and offer help? That's not easy. Ever have to do that? I hope we do it well. I hope we do it like the Father would do it, not like a bitter brother. Better get your crap together, Jack, and get back to church. Got a baptism this Sunday. I'll drag you there. Minute, that's not the right tone. The other son has devoured your estate with immoral women. So you didn't say a word, you just watched him smash under the rocks. Huh? Come on, bro. It's a hard truth. And there's another hard truth. We don't like to hear this. There are consequences to immoral, godly choices. There are consequences. This other son who has devoured your estate with immoral women, you slaughtered the fatted calf for him? I don't get it, Dad. I don't get it. I don't get God's generosity to Pumpkinhead sometimes. Ever know Pumpkinhead in your life? Pumpkinhead? Oh, man. And God blesses a Pumpkinhead. You're like, what? Why'd you bless that Pumpkinhead for? Yeah. Why are you rewarding him or her? I bet in the faithful one. Why are you wanting to? I've been mostly faithful. Check it out, Dad. You're actually rewarding wrong behavior. Do you see that? I just want to point it out. Nope. Dad has got a different view of the whole thing. See, I'm so grateful as a dad that you brought my son home safe and sound of repentance and he's returned to me. I don't care about nothing else. I love him so much. And I've been praying every day, 15 times a day, that God would bring him to whatever lowest point he had to be to hit bottom so he would run home to me. See, Dad didn't care about what was what. He cared about what was now. That's a father's heart. I thought you may love and care about your brother too, son. Say family drama. Luke 15:31-32. The father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." You know, talk to your father about you before you start popping off about your brother. Point one, always talk to your father about you before you pop off about your brother. Number two, if you have a good relationship with your father, hear this. Don't ever be afraid to ask him for anything. If you have a good relationship with your father, don't be afraid to ask him anything. Say capisce. That means in Italian, please begin to understand what I'm saying. If your Italian parent says to you capisce, that means whatever I just said, do you fully understand it? If you have a good relationship with your father, don't be afraid to ask him anything. Don't ever be afraid to ask him for anything. Check your heart, see if you can handle the answer, but never be afraid to ask him. Man, I want my kids to come with me with anything. Cheyenne's like, "Dad, someone cut me off on and this happened, and we got to go bury a body." Oh, okay, Shy. That's rough. You know, Shy, all right. Let's talk about it outside. You know, it's crazy. I want her to be able to come to me. You know, okay, Shy. You know, when your kids do something terrible and they're waiting home for you and they get the courage to tell you, "It wasn't my little brother that broke the plan. It was me. I was messing with a dog. Forgive me, Father. I have sinned." Whew. What do you want, man? See, our Father loves us even more than that. The Father said to him, "Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours." But it was fitting. Say appropriate. It was fitting. It was appropriate to celebrate and rejoice. Praise before the Lord is always fitting. No matter what your circumstance is, praise before the Lord is fitting, whether your son's back home or not. Praise is always fitting, whether you're still with the pigs. Praise is always fitting. So that's a true statement. But here's another one. And a good father. The father The heart of a good father contains daily prayer. It may go something, it may be emotional, but you don't know what this father's been going through, brother. He's been praying like, Lord, please bring him home safely. Please, 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 please. That's a father. And you're coming in here saying, talking smack about my son. Look, he's here and he's safe and he was a mess, man. Oh, you could have asked anything. You know what? Maybe I should have just threw you a party anyways. That's on me. You have been a good kid, and I'm sorry I didn't reach out, but I'm telling you right now, you get the next fatted calf. But can you not be bitter with your brother anymore? Because he was dead. My son was dead, and he's back. Whew, I had to celebrate. Can you feel that? What if you prayed like that? It was fitting to celebrate and rejoice for this brother of yours. Remember, it was his son. He said, this brother of yours, remember? We're all not just father's kids, we're family. Sometimes that can cause drama. Family causes drama sometimes. We don't need no more drama. For this brother of yours was as good as dead and has begun to live. He was lost and has been found. That's bigger than any lost sheep. It's bigger than any lost coin. So I want you to take a second and think about the different dramas that you're involved with. Where are the different places you have drama in your life? Think about the places you might be causing drama. Could we each work on that a little bit more? Could we get maybe a recollection that our drama causes other people drama? We got to forgive the drama. We got to work on the drama because we don't need no more drama. So to pray, I'm going to pray over all of our hearts today. Then I want you to join us as a family of God as we have some baptisms. It's kind of exciting. You know, I'm going to have Pastor Jody and Pastor Justin meet me over there with you guys that are baptism candidates. But today is one of those moments where people are publicly declaring, I'm not going to live what I used to live, and I'm not going to serve what I used to serve. And if it's an idol in my life, I'm going to crush it. I'm going to bury it. I'm going to burn it. I'm not going to pray to those gods. I'm not going to have any other gods but him. And if the Father sends me someplace in the world, I'm going to go. Why? Because I'm going to be his disciple now. And how I used to live, I'm not living that way no more. And I'm giving 100% to myself. I'm running back to the Father because I might have been with pigs. Should we celebrate that? Man, we should celebrate that today. We should celebrate that. So this morning, if maybe you need to run back to the Father, you've never been with him. Maybe you don't know how much he loves you. There's nothing you haven't done that he won't forgive you for. There's nothing. So this morning, let's celebrate the dead being dead and new life. Will you do that? Can you meet me at the baptism? Give us 10 more minutes of your life today as the church. Support them as a family because they're going to lose some drama on Satan now, right? They're about to change some things in the world. So, Father, this morning, if we need to be up our parent game, our father game, Father, help us up it this morning. Father, if we've been living reckless and wasting our time and wasting the stuff you give us, we're running back. Lord, if we've been bitter over something that we shouldn't be bitter over, Father God, we're going to celebrate this morning because we are your church and we don't need no more drama. In Jesus' name, amen.